Hilton Collier is the chief executive of Te Rāwhiti Whenua Charitable Trust, and they represent a significant collective of Māori landowners and farming entities across the regions. The trust works to strengthen the resilience and capability and performance of Māori-owned farming businesses through governance, investment, advocacy and collaboration. This morning we explore leadership, stewardship, farming and the future of Te Rāwhiti. Thanks for joining us on the program, Hilton. Tēnā koe, ko dai o tēnei. And a warm welcome once again to Wāte. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Dale. Kia ora to your listeners. Lovely to be with you this morning.
Thanks so much, Hilton. Look, the Trust often talks about looking beyond the next season or election cycle. From your perspective, Hilton, what does good governance look like when you're responsible for whenua and farming enterprises that need to serve both current owners and future generations? I suppose we're talking about stewardship and leadership and intergenerational planning here. Could you kick us off and talk about the vibe that's coming from the trust about looking forward in such a way?
That's a big question, Dale, and the way we tend to think about it and talk about it is in very simple terms. The land is there to feed the people today, tomorrow, and into the future generations, which then means we have an obligation to look after that whenua, not only for today, but also thinking about land borrowed from future generations. So we're not saying don't use the land. We're certainly in favour of using the land, but we understand that our attempts to extract kai or money or whatever the activity we're trying to achieve looks like, that we balance that with our obligations to the environment as kaitiaki and to our people who deserve to know that their assets are being used appropriately. So it's a continual struggle to try and balance, I guess, the pō all Māori live with. Yes, we need to make money, but we also understand that there are future generations we need to be a lot more thoughtful about when we're making day-to-day decisions. The land today is not ours to use as if we can just simply buy some more tomorrow. It doesn't work like that. So getting our environmental settings right is critical for us, and that occupies a big chunk of our time.
Yeah, tēnā koe. I respect what you're saying here, and so we have to have considerations about how it actually is impacting the land. Now, we know that overuse of fertilisers can end up in runoff into our rivers, creeks and streams. So we have to temper perhaps the utilisation of such fertilisers. And then when we talk about what we are growing or how we're utilising the land, illustrates the sense of kaitiakitanga, because you don't want to pass over a block that's munted to future generations. Might be using some street lingo on it, Hilton. Could you describe some of the decisions that the trust has involved itself in as you consider land usage and what would be appropriate with this long-term protection in mind?
And then it's an interesting because that has really galvanised a lot of the activities the trust has been executing over the last couple of years since Cyclone Gabrielle. As I'm sure everyone's aware, our region was devastated after Cyclone Gabrielle. We saw hill country slipping. We ended up with a lot of woody debris and we lost a lot of roading and infrastructure, communities isolated, et cetera, et cetera. Now, we can say that's a consequence of climate change, and there's an element of truth of that in that. However, some of the impacts we saw also reflected long-term poor decision-making. So, you know, in simple terms, we cleared the land, we created an erosion problem. The response post-Cyclone Bola was to plant trees, which we did at scale. Unfortunately, we planted trees in the wrong place. And so the whole thing's sort of come to a head in the aftermath of Cyclone Gabrielle, which has then resulted in us taking a much longer term view of land use. So we've been involved in looking at land capability across about 167,000 hectares of both farming, forestry, and some of our better lands with horticultural potential, and asking ourselves within the capability of the land, its location, access infrastructure and so forth, what is the best long-term land use for the land? Now, most of our people are sheep and beef farmers with a little bit of forestry. And so we haven't been saying don't farm livestock. We've been saying farm livestock in the right place. Use the right amount of inputs in the way that you've described. But let's think differently about using some of the steeper land. Perhaps it should be allowed to regenerate to native species. Perhaps we should be using mechanisms such as the emissions trading scheme to generate revenue. And what we've found as we've started to model some of these long-term land use transitions, we think we can unlock greater value for landowners, i.e. produce more kai to feed the whānau, and that I think will lead to better long-term outcomes for all of us. So yeah, let's continue to farm, but let's farm in the right way using the right inputs, and the same applies for forestry and every other land use. And here in Tairau Whiti, we certainly need to grow our regional GDP. And if we look at the best areas of land that we've got in this region, there's potential here for a lot more high-value land use that in turn creates more jobs and more opportunity for our whānau. And I think that's the simple philosophy we bring.
Didn't I agree? And it's a sensible philosophy when we are looking so far into the future. Sadly, we've got some organisations, companies more so, that I guess, than land trusts and whenua Māori landowners that are out to make a quick buck. And so the fastest way to do that seems to be Pinus radiata. And so they might not share the same sort of intergenerational land usage concerns that tangata whenua do. Many of the issues, Hilton, that face our people and the farming, land use sector, climate resilience, erosion, workforce development, succession planning, are challenges shared across the entire rural sector. What role do you think collaboration and partnerships are going to play in creating a stronger, more resilient future for all of Tairau Whiti?
Oh, I think collaboration is absolutely critical. We need to get everyone with a long-term interest in this region, not necessarily working to the same outcomes, but working in alignment so that we leverage and amplify the impact of our effort. And I think the difference we see when we engage with, whether it's other farmers in the region, whether it's government agencies, or even our local authorities, one, we know who we serve. We know who our whānau is. We also know they trust us to get a job done. Whereas often government departments and local authorities, they're simply there delivering a function that's been, in some respects, artificially created. So that's where we see tensions. But while we started off as a whenua Māori collective, after about 12 months, we realised that many of our Pākehā neighbours were having the similar sorts of issues. So we've been sharing our work and some of the knowledge that we've gathered much more broadly across the region, because at the end of the day, if it's good for whenua Māori, it should be good for the whole region. And after Cyclone Gabriel, it was heartening to see both Māori and non-Māori landowners working together for a better outcome. What we did notice is landowners who lived and resided in this region probably took a slightly different view to, shall we say, more commercial people that you described, who perhaps are after a quick buck.
Well, it's a challenging balancing act, but our love of our future generations and what we leave them really is the guider for how we operate in today's environment. It's been pretty tough, Hilton, I guess, just as we wrap up today, inflation figures coming through. We know that the situation in the Middle East has impacted, of course, the cost of diesel and the like. These are very trying times for all businesses. And, of course, people on the land haven't escaped the fluctuations and challenges of a global situation that is going up and down right before our eyes. How challenging an environment has it been for people on the land?
Well, Dale, you know, you've just reminded me of a lesson my Uncle Upi Mahuika taught me many, many years ago when we were talking to people in government departments, and I remember a similar issue being raised. Yes, farming today is tough, but at the end of the day, we will be here in 10, 20, 100 years. We know we can't go anywhere. We know that our connection to the land is much deeper. So we just have to find a way to navigate those challenges. And that was a lesson I took from Uncle Upi. You know, in 3 years beyond the next election cycle, or 4 years in the case of the UK, Māori will still be on the land. We will still be struggling to feed our people. And that's the thing that will continue to drive us. Whether it's a good kai or a little kai, we'll do our best to make sure it's available to everyone.
It's been wonderful talking with you again, Hilton. Thanks very much. All the best with the mahi. And you're right on the money. We're here forever. We're the forever people. Mihi ana kakwe, te rangatira. Thank you, Hilton.
Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe.